بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى من سار على هديه إلى يوم الدين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Today إن شاء الله we are gonna talk about the Islam of Rebecca. Meanwhile, Rebecca, one day she told me, I want to ask you a question. I said yes. She said, can I come live with you? I said, where? She said, in your home. In our religion, we're not supposed to have a man and a lady in the same place alone. Why do you want to live with me? She said, because my dad kicked me out of the home yesterday. My boyfriend has been confiscated because of drugs. And my dad has doubted that I was a dealer with him. And I have no place to sleep in tonight. Don't you have any relatives? Don't you have uncles or any relatives, any friends? She said, I do, but they're far away. They're not here. I said, oh, okay. Would you like me to talk with your dad? I can explain to him if you're not involved in drugs. And then she said, no, that's okay. I can manage. I can solve the problem. And then she said, how do you deal with your daughter if you doubted her like that? And I said, well, first of all, we have, in our religion, there is no relation between a lady and a man other than marriage. There is no boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And she said, and how do you choose a husband for your daughters? If somebody is proposing himself to any father of a daughter of a Muslim daughter, he has to go ask and investigate his family and his attitude, whether he is mean, miser, whether he is having bad attitude. We make sure that he is the right man for our daughter. And even after this process, there is a period of time, we call it the engagement period of time. And that engagement period of time, he will be exposing himself more to our daughters and to ourselves. And during that period of time, we don't allow them to sit alone. It has to be with the family. So she said, I have a question. If one of your daughters have fell in love with a young man, how do you go about this? I mean, how if he is not that good of a person, how will you accept him as a husband? In Islam, there are two things that we have to take care of, which is looking at ladies from the men's side and covering the beauty of the lady from the woman's side. So if we have done both of these, there is no room for the unlawful love. There is a room for lawful love, of course, but that is with using the brain instead of using the desires. And she was asking a lot of questions actually about hijab when she heard that hijab is a must to have in Islam. And one of the interesting questions that she asked me, she said, if I am covering my booty, how well the gentlemen or the men will be able to see and to see my beauty? How a person will be able to take a decision that I am the wife he wants to have? So I said, well, what we do as Muslims, if somebody is proposing himself, he must have seen our daughter going back from school or going back to school, or he must have seen her in the street or something, or maybe another family who has friends of our daughters, they have mentioned our daughter that they are beautiful, they're very nice people, and they're very good family and what have you. So he will come to take a look at the lady he is going to get married to. So in this process, we have to arrange for either a meeting like a picnic trip or something like that, where he will be able to see that lady indirectly without her, she feels that he is looking at her, or we can make it officially, and he can take an appointment and he can come over, and we will allow him to see our daughter, of course with hijab, and we will allow them to sit together and exchange some talks to know each other. And if she approves him and he approves her, he might ask for a look without hijab, and he will be able to see her without hijab for a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, and that's all what it takes for him to get attracted to her figure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, instead of exposing your beauty and your body to anybody who will be like looking at only the desire in the relationship that he will have with you. And guess what? He might have that relationship and he might end it as well once he get his desire. And then you as a lady end up going from one person to another and without getting to the happy life that you are looking for. So she asked me, "This is very interesting. I would love to be one of your daughters." I said, "Thank you very much." And then she started to ask me about the faith, about the belief that Muslims has. So I told her that we believe that there is no God save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe also that Muhammad is his last messenger. She said, "In Islam, you guys have the ability, or you're permitted to marry more than one wife. So how is that fair for the ladies? How many boyfriends usually the girl will go through until she landed her husband?" She said, "I don't know. I don't have any statistics, but usually it's more than one." I said, "Okay. And if we ask this question to a man in your culture," I have asked this question several times to many people, and they could not even count them. Then I am wondering why people go the unlawful way of having more than one relation. And it is simple, because Allah has created the man with a nature. That nature allows him to have more than one lady in his life. And Allah also has created the lady in a nature that she does not accept more than one man in her life. And this is trivial, this is, subhanAllah, this is natural. This is one thing. And the other thing is, when you look at the society, naturally, the females, they are more in numbers than males. So if we will say each male has to marry only one female, there will be a sector of females that they will not have normal life. Rebecca was an interesting person. She's a smart, and she asked all the questions that she wanted to ask before getting into Islam, alhamdulillah. And the last question was about the multi, or the polygamy in English language, that is available in Islam, but it's not available in any other religion. Now, going back to that subject, and I was explaining to her, now if you would look to a person who is divorced, or she's been in a relation with a marriage relation, I mean, and her husband died, after a disaster or a war or whatever, usually ladies, they have the chance to live much more than men in these kind of occasions. So you end up also with a society that has larger number of females. And as a result of this, if we don't solve this problem, then again we are going into the corruption that we don't want to see in our societies. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated that we can get married to more than one wife. And however, we have to be just. If we can afford marrying to another lady, then we will be able to do that. By being just, I mean, to give each one of our wives the same exactly financially, and the same exact time, and the same exact concern and attention. And if we can do this, then we are permitted to go for the second and the third and the fourth marriage. However, let me point out something really interesting, Rebecca. The marriage relation is not all about the desire or the sexual relationship between a man and a woman. It is a responsibility. It is a responsibility that the man has towards the woman to furnish her with a happy life and make that house or make that environment a good environment for raising up kids in the right way. You don't want to have a relation that is full of difficulties financially, difficulties between the two husbands, because he cannot be just with all his wives and then raise up your kids in that environment. You don't want that. And the father has to have the time to spend with his kids as well as the mother. And if he has that time, and if he has that the management of his time to go about this, then he will be able to get married to a second and third and fourth wife. Probably it's an advantage in our religion to have that, because when you do that and you're feeling relaxed that you're not going unlawful against Allah's will, against the people's will, then it's more comforting than having a wife and too many girlfriends, and that's not really fair. And if for you as a lady, you don't want a person who is married and you're having a relation with him as a girlfriend, you will be the person who's not getting your rights, basically. Is that right, Rebecca? She said, yeah, this is right. Then I left her in that, and then I met our brother, who is the owner of that business. I met him and I asked about Rebecca. Aren't you spending some time with Rebecca in terms of her snap? She seems to be a smart lady, and she seems to be interested in knowing more about Islam. Why don't you spend some time? He said, inshallah, I will. She never asked me. I said, yeah, please. And she asked me a lot of questions today. So I left him after visiting him for a little while. And one day I was coming, as a matter of fact, I was going to Los Angeles. And I called Mahanna. I had some business with him. And Rebecca picked up the phone. And I said, oh, Rebecca, how are you doing? She said, I'm doing good. I said, assalamu alaikum. She said, what does that mean? I said, I'm saying peace on you. She said, oh, okay, peace on you too. So you say, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. She said, what does that mean? I said, you say peace on you and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. And she said, okay, how am I going to say this? And then I taught her how to say that. I said, Rebecca, all these questions that you have asked me, did you go talk to your boss about Islam and the faith and what have you? She said, yeah, we talked about it, and I guess I'm convinced it is a very good faith. I said, okay, if it is, then can you declare that you believe that there is no God save Allah? She said, yeah, of course. There is no God save Allah, definitely, after my discussion with you and Muhanna. I said, and can you declare that Muhammad is his last messenger? And she said, yeah, definitely. He is the great man who told us all these beautiful religion and beautiful concept. I said, okay, congratulations, Rebecca, you just become a Muslim. She said, really? I said, yeah. Didn't Muhanna told you to become a Muslim? And then Muhanna colleague was standing next to her, and she said, and he was saying, Mr. Awad, I mean, I think you're pushing it too much. I think it's too early to make Rebecca embrace Islam. And then she told him, no, it's not too early. I'm ready to become a Muslim. You guys are not willing to make me a Muslim because you don't want me to go to the masjid and pray like the sisters. And then he was laughing. And alhamdulillah, she became a Muslim. They bought her hijab. And she went to the masjid, alhamdulillah. She embraced Shahada. And the sister took care of her, alhamdulillah. And she became a very nice Muslim. She wrote me a letter because I was not able to stop by Muhanna's office when I left. And she was saying that to thank me for the new concept and the new religion that I have opened up her eyes on. And alhamdulillah, she became a very nice Muslim. Jazakumullah khair, barakallahu fikum for hearing or listening to this story. See you in the next story, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.